grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanksgiving is always my favorite holiday. I realize that might be a gender thing. That might also be that my birthday is around this date. But much of the responsibility for the rituals of the day tend to fall on the women. Thank you for those who are bearing that load. It's a day that even in its rituals, which are mostly about food, are non-demanding. Only an ogre would complain about speaking with family, eating pumpkin pie, and watching football while falling asleep. The meals is bigger than is actually needed, but you get to eat it for the next 2 or 3 days. Many other holidays, to me, are filled with a sense of the law. You must do this at this time exactly right. And if you fail, you're a complete failure. Thanksgiving always had a larger measure of grace. Paradoxically, the non-specifically religious Thanksgiving feels more in tune with the gospel. Proper response to the grace we all have been given. Deuteronomy, as a book, is a second giving of the covenant. It's what Moses did after their 40 years in the desert, right before they crossed the Jordan to take possession of the promised land. And in the passage called out for days of thanksgiving, God points at two levels of his providence. The first level of God's providence is what Luther captures in his explanation to the first article of the Creed. He gives me my clothing and shoes, my food and drink, house and home, which I'm glad we now have one, wife and children, land and animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. Even though Israel was wandering in the wilderness, God gave them the manna and the quail. Their clothing did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Even though we walked through the wilderness of a fallen world, God continues to provide everything that we need to support this life. And the common grace is given to all. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Thanksgiving, as a purely secular holiday, is still a common good. Because we all receive the harvest of God's good creation, that it provides abundantly. But the point of common grace is not that we cling to the fallen world. God's providence under that first article of the Creed is given that we might recognize that man does not live by bread alone, but that he lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God would bring Israel into the promised land, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And it's in that last phrase that is the test. The first thing to recognize is that the land does provide, but that our sin often gets in the way. Famine is never about enough food. It's always about fallen political systems that won't share the abundance. And even with good systems, the iron and the copper of the hills still needs to be dug out. Vines need dressing, and bees need to be kept. God's providence invites us into tending the garden with him. And sometimes we just don't feel like it. But this is the promised land that God wishes to lead us into. One where the king is just and our bodies do not wear out. This is the providence of that second and third articles of the creed. We don't live by bread alone, but the Father has sent his Son as our just king. He sits at the right hand of God, from whence he will come to judge. And we live into the promise of the resurrection and that resurrection body. We all receive the grace of the first article. But the test is, are we satisfied with mere bread? When we ask for our daily bread, do we take it and leave like the nine who were healed? Or do we return in thanks? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to recognize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. That's Luther's explanation to the Lord's Prayer petition. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord, is the phrase in Deuteronomy. Do we recognize that God's providence of bread, which itself is worthy of thanks, is but the start of his providence? Not only has he given us this good land, he's given us a much better one, a heavenly one, an inheritance in the world to come when he makes all things new. We give thanks for all of God's gifts, those that support this body and life, our daily bread, and those that keep us in his grace and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Amen.